First of all, chavra, all the learning tonight should be a little nishmas. I'm just talking before, but it's hard to say. I have a Talmud of mine who unfortunately was taken way too early. Yehuda Shimon Hardun, who passed away, who was nifter this just a few days ago. And the family's not even really in Shiva yet because of Yantiv, push off Shiva to afterwards, but it's within the few days after the Kvura. And there are no words when you go through such difficulties. But hopefully some learning tonight could be a big schus for his neshama and bring some nechama to his mishpacha. And it should be the zman, we're talking zman of geula. When Nisan atidun ligal, hopefully the final kapara and the final churban, final karban that we need before we're dancing together with Mashiach and Tchis HaMeis and with Gula Shlema b'meir b'meinu.
Amen.
You know, to learn Torah, one thing about Yehuda had a mind for Torah. Few Talmidim have ever had this chus to teach, had such a mind, such an ability to understand and to connect. The way he was, his analytical mind, I mean, incredible. Incredibly, could rip apart a piece of Gemara in ways hardly seen. So to learn Torah in his chus will be something very special, and mitzvah him be a big chus for his neshama. You know, when I was younger, I went to a few different old boys camps, Camp Manavu, Camp Reim. And there was a line, I remember in both of them, they had a very similar line. So these camps, there was a lot of learning going on. A lot of learning. You had like learning groups for like 2 hours in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. It wasn't like some of the other camps that some of the chevra knows maybe better from your youth. And then, you know, as a little kid, you were excited. Listen, not that you didn't enjoy learning necessarily, but you were excited for the activities, for sports, for whatever else. You're counting down those last few minutes, and then the loudspeaker goes off, and it was always the same line. Time for learning never ends, but learning groups are now over. Time for learning never ends, but learning groups are now over. And I'll tell you, this is what I'm talking, I went to these camps at the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. And 7th grade. 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. So it's a few years ago. We're talking a few years ago. This was before I was bar mitzvah. And the line made this incredible reisham. Incredible reisham and understanding that obviously there has to be a time in life where we're involved in other things in this world. And there's a lot else. And even B'dvar Kedusha. And that's davening and other mitzvahs. And then obviously we have responsibilities to support our family, and we have to go to sleep, and we have to eat. There's a lot else besides for learning that one needs to do. But time for learning never ends. Meaning, v'gitza bo yom v'layla, our vod in life is, when there aren't other things that we need to be doing, or should be doing, we should be learning. My Rebbe Rav Blachman Shalita, I've shared this story before, I'm sure. I remember years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, one of the trips in January, and I called him up. I wanted to go meet with him and talk to him. And he said, yeah, you could come now. I'm learning now, but it's a good, you could come now. So I said, Rebbe, if Rebbe's learning, maybe there's a better time. I'll come, it's okay. Any time I could come later also is okay. I'll work it around Rebbe's schedule. He says, no, Ari, you don't get it. Whenever you're not going to be with me, I'm going to be learning. So there's no better or worse time. Whatever is better for you is fine with me. It was such a, besides, for, it was MS, that's who he is. And he said, I want to meet with you, I'm here for you, I'm your Rebbe, that's what I should be doing, but when you're not here, I'm learning. It's not like, there's no, oh, this is my time that I learned, and then later I'm not learning. Like, time for learning never ends. V'gisa b'yom v'layla. You know, in Baruch Hashem, earlier today, I was in the car with the family, we're on the way to our Chol HaMoed activity for the day to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, to appreciate all the Egyptian culture had a chesnish. It was very nice, enlightening, beautiful, wonderful. Nice time with the family was. But on the way there, I was chesbening whether we should have shir tonight or not. It's been a long time since we had a cholam moed Thursday night Pesach. I don't remember the last time. Emes. Last year, I don't remember what was. Last year was a different story. Pesach, so it wasn't even part of the chesben. But I'm saying, but even before that, it's been definitely a few years since there was a Thursday night. It's been yontiv Thursday night. And when Thursday night falls out, sukkis, savad, then I don't know if shir, because simchas pesach shoeva is Trump, and there's a lot to do, and you know, but we haven't had even a chesben. Usually, we always have Thursday night shir, no matter what. So the first time we even had, like, on during a chol hamoed, and we're going to have a mirtz Hashem, so it's Mashiach, everyone, mirtz Hashem, and it's going to be made on Olam Haba. But it was chesbening, should we have shir or not? I mean, a lot of people are away. And it's chol hamoed. And part of me, like, okay, vada, why not? And part of me is, okay, maybe not too many people want to come. So I turned in the car, I asked my family, should we have shir or not tonight? So right away, my 14-year-old daughter, Eliora, she says, of course you should have shir tonight. People need to learn. What do you mean? That's what she said. Like that. So I said, okay, fine. That's it. She was the only one who commented. Nobody said anything else. So I said, okay, you win. And that's what Bamish, on the spot, you can look at whatever time the text went out today. That's when I sent out a text. Okay, we're having shir tonight. That was it. Now, I didn't prepare any of the shir tonight, so then we had to get home at 6. That's when I sat down and finally, Baruch Hashem, maybe should have brought it together. We'll see. Baruch Hashem, we'll learn together. But we should have shir. And she was right, because time for learning never ends. And whoever, Lamaisa, so because there are people in Orlando and there are people in other Mekaymas, Kedoshim, or Mekaymas Shul, whatever else there is going on, so we shouldn't learn together. We shouldn't, Lamaisa, it's either this or what else would one be doing? Okay, maybe learning somewhere else, it's also good. But time for learning never ends. Time for learning never ends, so this chus of this shir, this is something very special to me. No matter what, bein hazmanim, chol hamoed, whatever it is, if I'm in this country, we have shir, and it's a big lesson to each and every one of us when we're kovei itim al Torah, especially. That's kovei itim, no matter what. So it's chus to be together, and thank you for coming to learn Torah, because it's a chizuk for me, mitalmidei yosef mikulam. In chevra, we all had lel seder just a few nights ago. It was mein ol haba. On a personal, it was so special with my family, with my children. It's hard to believe we have to wait another year for that. But there's so many mitzvahs, Lel Seder. You have Dal Koisois, and you have Sipritz Yisrayim, and you have Morer, and there's so many beautiful songs we're singing all night. And a lot of Minhagim, beautiful Minhagim. The hiding of the Afikomen and singing Dayenu. It's so much that goes on. It's just a powerful night. There's so many angles. There's so much that we were able to tap into in so many different ways and so many different Torah shared. And if you think about it, it's an incredible, incredible night. But then it's over, and what do we have left the rest of Pesach? Yes, it's Yontiv, and we have Halal, like other Yom Tovim. And it's Chol Hamoed, and we dress Big Day Shabbos and feel what Yontiv is. But ultimately, what do we have left? What mitzvahs do we have left? What mitzvahs Hayom are left? For Pesach. Okay, we have a lav, nati chametz, which is Shei V'Altasa at this point. We had a mitzvah prior of Tashbizu, which is famous, I don't know how many of you ever went through that, the Minchas Chinuch over there, famous discussion whether Tashbizu is Shei V'Altasa or Kum Ba'aseh, whether it's active or passive, but at this point it's definitely passive. We hope it's passive, right? Hopefully it's passive. Hopefully it's passive. Unless we find chametz, which hopefully we don't. So what else is there? What's left? According to some, according to many, nothing's left. There's no other mitzvahs hayoyim. That's it. Lel say it there and it's over. But according to some, and most famously the Vilna Gaon, Choso Yagen Aleinu, we still have a mitzvah every single day. We have a mitzvah today, and we have a mitzvah tomorrow, we had a mitzvah yesterday, a mitzvah of matzah. We have a mitzvah to eat matzah. Now, it's definitely, it's not a chiyuv mitzvah, If you went today and you didn't eat matzah, you didn't do anything wrong. But you have an opportunity to feel the Vilna Gaon. And the Aruch HaShulchan holds like this as well. And if you open up in the Chumash, the Ibn Ezra and the Chizkuni and others read this Pashup Pshat in the Psukim, as the Psukim tell us in Parashas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, first Pasuk Tes Vav, Shivas Yamim Matos Tachelu. What's Pashup Pshat there? Now again, there are different ways to learn this, and the Gemara Psachim Kuf Chaf seems to say differently than this. Pashtus in the Gemara, but you could read the Gemara like the Vilna Gaon also, I believe. But Lameisa, Shivas Yamim Matos Tachelu. For 7 days you should eat matzah. Why is the Torah telling me that? Because you could have a choice. So some say it's just telling you what your options to eat, because you can't eat chametz. But pashtus, you could learn these mean, you have a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. Only the first day, the chiyav mitzvah. So you could go today and not eat matzah. But if I had matzah today, I was mekayim a mitzvah. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. You see it again in Perek Yud Gimel. Pazuk Vav. Shivas yamim toichel matzos. Next pasuk, matzos yachol shivas hayamim. Time and time again. Why did you tell me so many times? Simply, there's a mitzvah to eat. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah. I still have a mitzvah to eat matzah. We should wash and have some matzah now after shir. Mekai mitzvahs. Why not? Maybe we will. If it's taka, we will. Whoever wants to, I'm going to do it. Might as well. Huh? Whoever else wants, you're welcome to share. We'll have matzahs. The Mishnah Berurah brings this down in Tavayin Hey. It's the end of Tavayin Hey. In Tavayin Hey, Sifkata Mem Hey. Ubishem Hagra Kasvu Dal Kalpanim Mitzvah Ika Lechel Matzah Kol Shiva. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. Elashenu Chiv. There's no obligation. You didn't do anything wrong. If you didn't, but you have a positive mitzvah, you can be Makayim mitzvah to eat matzah. That's why many only eat Shmura matzah. That's the Shem mitzvah's matzah. All of Pesach, not just the nights of Pesach, not just the nights of the Siddur. That's the, again, this is the famous Vilna Gaon and the Aruch HaShulchan and others. It's true, the Gemara in Psachim Kovchav calls it a Rishus. But again, you could understand that Gemara with the Vilna Gaon that Rishus means as opposed to Chiyuv. Not that it's not necessary. Again, most learn the Gemara, and most opinions is there isn't a mitzvah after the first two nights. Based on that Gemara in Psachim Kovchav. But you could learn the Gemara is talking about a Rishus as opposed to a Chiyuv, right? Meaning it's a voluntary mitzvah. A Kiyuv mitzvah, not a Chiyuv mitzvah. What would be the question on that then? If it's a mitzvah, Vilna Gaon, hey, why is there no bracha? Why is there no bracha? And more than that, so you're thinking, what do you mean? It's only a key mitzvah, not a chiyuv mitzvah. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos, we weren't necessarily commanded to. B'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, we're tzivanu the first two nights. The rest we're not commanded, we have to. Problem is, why should there be a bracha? Because what about by sukkah? You make a leisha by sukkah when you're eating your sukkah on in the middle of Chol HaMoed? Vada. Do you have a chiyuv that you have to eat in the sukkah that day? What if you don't eat, you eat peros all day on sukkahs? Are you allowed to stay out of the sukkah and not eat in the sukkah on Chol HaMoed? 100%. There's no chiyuv that you have to, first night you have to eat in the sukkah, right? First night you have a chiyuv to eat in the sukkah, and we learned that out from Pesach. Tezvav, tezvav. Right? Everyone knows this. So first night you have a chiv. That's why even if it's raining, right? Pouring rain. We all learned these halachas. Pouring rain. You have to eat something in the sukkah. You have to eat a kzayis of bread in the sukkah. Even the first night. There's a chiv to eat in the sukkah the first night. Just like there's a chiv to eat matzah the first night. During Chol HaMoed, you have to eat in the sukkah. Vadanish. I could eat peris all day. Eat some fish. Eat a little chicken. Call it a day. Not have any bread. Not have any mzonos. Don't go into my sukkah. So why? But what's the halacha? If you eat in the sukkah, do you make a bracha? Leisha b'sukkah? You do. If I had matzah today, I made a motzi lechem min aretz some matzah. Did I make alachil's matzah? Anyone made alachil's matzah today? And if you had matzah today, again, it's not a chiyuv, that's for sure. But if you did you make aleph? You didn't. Why? Why is it different? It's a good kasha, right? So listen to the Baal HaMor. It's a very interesting Baal HaMor. It's something you'll pick up on as well in this Baal HaMor. Baal HaMor is in Arvei Pesachim. Chav Vav Mebeis B'daf Yerif. He says, V'yesh Yisholim B'achilas Matzah. Ma tam ein anu mevarchim la kol zayin, kamo she mevarchim al suka kol zayin. De gam rina ma hadadi shalai rishon chova. Mikan ve'elech reshus, bein b'matza, bein b'suka. We compare the two. They're both the first night of chov and the rest are reshus. Seemingly, the Baal HaMor is like the gra. He's asking you, why is there no bracha? Vada, like others, is vada, no bracha, there's no mitzvah. So the Baal HaMor is definitely holding like the gra in this question. V'yesh l'hashiv, listen to his answer. Very interesting answer in some of the examples he uses. L'fi sha'adam yachol b'shar yamim la'amod b'lo achil matzah v'yanizon b'orez v'dochen v'chol minei peros. Shimon, you like this one. Shimon is a svardi here. Because what did Baal HaMor just say? Don't worry. You don't have to, listen. The rest of Pesach, you don't have to eat matzah. You don't have to eat matzah at all. And what could you be sustained upon? Orez, what's orez? Rice. I don't know, I've never had rice on Pesach, so what's the Baal HaMor talking about? So Shimon can tell us that he's a big fan of this. Look at the example. You could have dochen is millet, also kidneys. Okay, v'chol nemine peres. Now, by the way, this is no raya, even though Baal HaMor happened to be a Sephardi, you know, he's from Spain and he has Sephardi, he's Sephardi, so you see that it works, but also, when did the Baal HaMor live? In the 1100s. When was the whole entire takon of kitnios? In the 1400s, I believe. So this is way before kitnios. But this is a raya gemura. Again, people get so scared. Kitnios. That emes is, it's not chametz. Kitnios is a gzera because we're afraid, whether it's because we're afraid we'll mix it up and come to chametz, or whether it was because it was mixed up and harvested together. But kitnios, don't start to think our Svarti brothers are eating chametz, chas shalom. Pumfak carrots. We have a big chumra. It's completely not. There's no shaila, it's not chametz. And that's why we're allowed to own kidneys. We're allowed to get hanaf from kidneys. But here it's mamish, one of the examples the Baal HaMor uses is eat rice. Very interesting, right? Anyways. So he says you could get away Pesach, the rest of Pesach, not eating matzah. Bubber, so Masha'in came besukkah, what? Where's the Baal HaMor go over here? There. She'ein yachal lama blashina gimel yamim v'chayiv lishon besukkah. You can't get away with the rest of sukkah. It's not going in your sukkah. Because one of the chiyuvim, which sadly, unfortunately, not too many, I shouldn't say not too many, but sadly there are people who don't understand the importance of it. But the chiyuv of the sukkah is to live in your sukkah. B'shem is teishvu gein taduru. And part of that, and maybe even more chomer than eating, is sleeping in your sukkah. We all have a chiyuv to sleep in our sukkah. It's more chomer because achilas arayah, you could be out of the sukkah. Shinas arayah, you have to be in the sukkah. So you cannot be in your sukkah. And once you cannot be in your sukkah, even though it's not a chiyuv per se that you have to eat in your sukkah, but you have to be in your sukkah, and therefore the mitzvah definitely is there during the rest of the Yom Tov, as opposed to matzo, which is not definitive, and that's why the Baal HaMor says there's no bracha. So what do we see from all this, Chevra? Lefi the Vilna Gaon and Lefi others, and seems to be Pashtus in the Pesukim, that there's a mitzvah of matzah all Pesach long, so our avoida now is to focus on matzah. We're already starting with a lot of lum this night, it's not the normal derech over here. But so first of all, I thought to myself, you know what, it's Ben Azman and it's Chol HaMoed. Usually, all week long, people are mamish male lumdus and don't get enough machshava and chasidus and chizik and esorus, so we have to get together Thursday night and be mashlim in the proper way. This week, because we're not in yeshiva and it's different, I don't know how much lumdus we've been learning, so we have to get into a little more lumdus. But don't worry, that's it. I don't mean, you know. MS is, I wish. Oh, how I have such she'ifas to give a shir and lumdus as well. And, you know, and I'm even yavin. And do it right and have more time with this chaver. But when you're together only once a week, it's like the famous Rabbi Saul Solanter, right? They once went to Rabbi Saul Solanter or someone and asked him, "I only have 15 minutes, what should I learn?" He said, "What do you say? Very, very famous. Sit and learn Musar, and then you'll realize you have 2 hours in your day." Lamaisa, when we only have an hour together once a week, I feel like I have to, the ikkar is to learn the Torah of the Lev. The Torah of the Lev and the Torah of Pidimius. That's why, that's what we do here generally. But okay, we had to talk a little lumbus tonight. But to open up our hearts to understand the importance of matzah and matzah for all of these days of Pesach. And this beautiful mitzvah that we still have with us for these remaining four days. That are left to the Heilig Yontif. And that's one of the reasons we're going to be, some of us hopefully, whoever could be, and maybe some think they're too far. You're not too far. You can walk. To be together for Sudas Mashiach. Sudas Mashiach is also known as Sudas Agra. And part of that Sudas Agra, because the Vilna Gaon is the one who teaches us, and famous for this mitzvah of matzah, all of Pesach, and that Sudi, you just pound the matzah to get all the mitzvahs in. That final time to get this mitzvah of matzah, that we'll be together, Mitzvah Shem. So we have to understand the depth of this mitzvah of matzah and what it represents and what it could be in our life for the entire year, because only a few more days it's going to end, this mitzvah. But that's the mitzvah b'chitzonius, has to stick with us b'pnimius. So, you know, we know famously the Dalad Koisois that we drank a few nights ago represent the Dalad Lashonos of Geula. What is famous gematria? Kos Yayin is 156. Four times Kos Yayin, four times 156 is Cheres, is freedom, is redemption, is Geula. 624. The matzah has a duality to it. The matzah, on one hand, is the matzah also of Geula. And we left Mitzrayim, famously, we always learned to the little kids, and we left Mitzrayim, we didn't have time for the dough to rise, and represents that redemption. But at the same time, it's lechem oni, poor man's bread. So there's a famous gematria with matzah as well, and lechem oni is gematria 208, and three times lechem oni, three times 208, 624, is also cheres. So it always bothered me. Lechem oni seems to be the name of matzah that represents more of the aninus, of the impoverished person's bread, and not the gula dika bread. So why would that be the one used in the gematria to represent cheres? But the emes is, if you open up the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, where we have in the Torah the usage of lechem oni, the pasuk says in Perek Des Zayin, pasuk Gimel, Osochel of Chamit Shivas Yamim Tochel of Matzos Lechem Oni, Ki Bichi Pazon Yosasim Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk that calls it lechem oni talks about specifically the chipazon and how we left Mitzrayim, and it's therefore the Geula, so it represents the Geula. Why? How could that be? Maybe by the end of tonight we'll give a little havana on that. But there's no question that this lechem oni, that these matzahs represent cheres, that represent freedom. Now, to say that we had three matzahs, and the three matzahs represented, famously, you all learned at a young age, Kohen Levi Yisrael, and I want to give perhaps a purish, an understanding, an amkus in that. In Pirkei Avos, in fourth parak, at the end, we learn that there are three things in this world that mamish ramotzin as adam and oil. Akina ataiva v'akavod. Kino, having jealousy of another person. Taiva, having temptations for all the taivas. Bring a chair. Go in the background, bring it. Taivas and kavod. And we all understand, it's not just motzi and adam and olam, it is motzi and adam and olam. But what that means is, avdus. What that means is, I'm a slave. I'm not free. When a person has kina, when a person is jealous of others, he's never happy with himself, he's always looking over his shoulder, looking at others, wants more because this person has it, and ultimately a slave to his surroundings, a slave to everyone around him who maybe has something which he would like. Taiva. Every one of us understands what it is. Every one of us understands, sadly, what it is to be Moitzi and Esa Adam and Oilam, what it is to be an eved to taiva. There's not a day that goes by, not a day, that people don't reach out to me about this inyan. Not a day. And taivas have always existed, but in our dar, the accessibility that is in the world of technology, in the world of that we've been brought into, creating avdus, creating slaves to desires. Nobody feels good about themselves anytime they look at such a thing. Nobody. Feel like a slave. Feel like garbage. I'm not free to be who I'm not free to be who I want to be. I'm motzina adam olam. I'm out of this world. I'm not in the world I want to be in. I have no freedom. It's so destructive. I was dealing with a situation yesterday, mamish. Pach and Myra, Pach and Myra. People just don't even realize how from their youth destroying their lives for years and years and years, and mamish a slave. Mamish a slave. And kavod, also the people mamish running after kavod, who are not have everything in the world, have beautiful families and beautiful, but people think of other people higher than them, and they don't feel, and they're just unhappy, and they're slaves to that desire for other people to look up to them. No cheres, no freedom, no happiness within themselves. And it's all world of sheker. Kina taiva kavod. Together is gematria 600. Exactly sheker. I'm living a life of sheker. Emes is freedom. Emes is, I'm emes to myself. I'm true to myself. I'm free. When I'm not true to myself, when I'm living for my desires and living for my for kavod and living because of jealousy, it's a world of sheker. It's a world of sheker. Three matzahs are keneged kohen Levi and Yisrael. The kohen, the Levi Yisrael, are keneged kinetayv and kavod. How do we see this? A kohen, he puts on the big day kahuna. What does the Torah tell us in Parashas Tetzaveh that the big day kahuna were for? L'chavod u'l'sefaris. True kavod. Meaning, what's true? What's the remedy of kavod? Giving kavod to the Eibishter. The remedy of kavod is not running after kavod for myself, that other people should respect me and look up to me and honor me. The remedy, the antithesis of kavod, the proper kavod of the world, is giving kavod to the Eibishter. L'chavod ul'sefaris. And who are the leaders in that? The Kohanim. The Kohanim are serving the Beis HaMikdash, who are the leaders in Kedusha and Ruchnias, giving kavod to Hashem on the highest of levels. Levi. Levi is mamish, the antithesis of kinah. Is the remedy of kinah. Also, first of all, Levi has his mamish, his brothers, who are other Kohanim, and they're the Levis. They're singing Shira. They're doing that. But they're not doing that avodah. It's a whole different world. And they're looking at it. Mamish, but we're cool. We're zoyche. We're happy with our lot. And that's why, who was Korach? Korach is the leader of kinah of all of history. Is the Rasha of kinah of the history of the world. And Korach, because Korach has to be somebody who has the power to uproot kinah, is the one who fell to kinah. It's Korach from Levi, obviously. Right? Korach, Korach. So the Levim are keneged kinah. I want to suggest Yisrael. Yisrael is every Jew. Every Jew has to defeat taiva. There's nobody. The emes is not everybody's about kinah. And emes is not everyone's about kavod. But everybody's about taiva. And every single person needs to defeat that. Every single person needs to work on that. Every single person needs to be strong in that. So Kohen Levi Yisrael, which are the three matzahs, are keneged kinah taiva kavod, and that's what brings us cheres. That's what brings us cheres. You know why? It's very, very simple, chevra. What is matzah? We've spoken about this before, and it's an inyan, but we have to chazer it. What is matzah compared to chametz? It's actually one and the same. Chametz, what is matzah? It's flour and water. But all that chametz is puffed up. Puffed up excitement. But it's really nothing. If you break it down, it's the same as the matzah. If you break it down, it's matzah. Just puffed up and exciting. What is kino? What is taiva? What is kavod? What is all of it? We're puffing up and making excitement about nothingness. What does it mean if you have kavod? You know what it means? Zero, nothing. It doesn't make you one drop of a better person. Your kin is, you're going to fulfill anything because now suddenly you have this. Suddenly now I'm going to be satiated. Then I'm just going to want something else. And every one of us knows any time a person gives into the taiva, you just feel like a piece of garbage. It did absolutely nothing for you. It's emptiness. It's emptiness. That screen is anything real. It's one big facade of anything. So the difference between chamit and matzah is mamish, the difference in somebody who defeats kin and taiva and kavod. Therefore, the matzah, the three matzahs, kohen levi Yisrael, are kineged that. The Eibush brought me a big matana. If you take the gematria of hakina vehataiva vehakavod, hakina vehataiva vehakavod is 627. Exactly gematria, lechem oni times 3, plus 1 for each matzah. 627. The three matzahs are kineged kin and taiva and kavod. And that's what the Gemara in Brachos Dav Yedzayin means. The Gemara in Brachos Dav Yedzayin tells us that Rav Alexandri Basud de Matzli, he would daven Ribbono Olam, and all I want to do is Ratzonein, Latzos Ratzonein. I want to just do your Ratzon. Latzos Ratzonein. Umi Ma'akev, what holds me back? Shibet Galia, sometimes we have physical galas holding us back, thank God we don't. And Sor Shabi Isa, the Yetzer Hara B'Levenu. My taiva, my kinu, my kavod. So what's the antithesis of matzah? What about chametz? It's matzah. Because matzah is that humility. Matzah is lechem oni. Now you understand lechem oni is chayrus. You know why lechem oni is chayrus? Maybe I want to suggest. Lechem oni is chipazon, is geula. Lechem oni is chayrus. Of course it's because it's getting down to what's real and not anything puffed up, but it's not just that. It doesn't represent just someone who's impoverished and poor and someone who doesn't have anything and therefore is down and out. It represents humility. It represents someone who's real. It represents someone who's not running after kavod and not running after taiva and not running after kina. But I'm true to myself. And when I'm true to myself, I'm most real. That's when I'm most free. That's when I have chayrus. When I'm not trying to be someone I'm not and puffing myself up to look different and be different. And let's be real, anytime I give into my taivas, I'm not even someone that I really am. That's not who I want to be. That's not who I want, not the real me. I feel like you can't even believe if when a person would be giving into their taivas, they'd look in the mirror. You know, last week, if some of the chevra remembers, we spoke about how embarrassed we would be to be a father to our children. But what about how embarrassed you'd be to yourself? You'd be shocked. You'd mamish be shocked. This is not who I am. This is not who I want to be. This is not, I'm not free. I'm a slave. I'm nothing. I'm a puffed up version of myself. I wouldn't even recognize yourself. If a person was in the middle of giving in to their taivas, whatever that taiva was, fill in the blank, even though there are some that we're more prone to than others. Fill in the blank. Whatever the taiva is, we actually had a vision of ourselves. You had a mirror opposite you. And you looked in the mirror. You wouldn't recognize yourself. You couldn't believe that's you. You'd be so embarrassed. You'd be so shocked. It wouldn't look like you. It'd look like a different version, a puffed up version. It's not your true essence. Matzah, this is true. This is real. This is it. Nothing else. Bare bones. That's cheres. Chayrus is bare bones. Chayrus is who I really am. Not my puffed up version. Who I really am. And every time I eat matzah, that mitzvah of matzah, all 7 days, I'm reminded, chayrus, 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 ki bichbazon. And I want that chayrus. Maybe that's the answer. You know, we're always trying to come up with tactics, how to defeat the eight horrors of our lives. Maybe we need to build mirrors everywhere. Build mirrors. Just have mirrors everywhere. Maybe that's what we need. No? We need mirrors. No, it's an avodah. Maybe that's why, again, you know,
We could do it.
But not me, I'm thinking real. Like, let's... We'll make it part... We just have to... We need to get some people in society to start pushing that would be, like, the in thing, to have mirrors all over the place, you know? And then everyone would just have mirrors. And maybe things will get good. On the computer, you have, like, a... Right. Maybe the computer should be... Would be a mirror where you see yourself also. And your phone has a mirror. You see... You need a big image. You see everything going on, you know? It'd be good. Wouldn't be able to. I don't want to look at myself like that. I couldn't look at myself like that. The person couldn't look at themselves because it's not who I really am. I don't even look like myself. I want chairs. I just thought that was pshat, and maybe I've seen this in places as well. You know, by the famous idea by Aishas Yipas Potai, by Aishas Potifar. I actually saw this today. I don't know what this was. I couldn't understand. I don't know. I was in the museum today, the Metropolitan Museum of Art. They had this like tiny little, they said it was a sitter. It was open to one page, it was behind glass, so I couldn't like open and turn to see. I think it was like from the 1200s. And it's open to a page. Why they had this open to this page, I have no idea. I don't know if this was like trying to, but it's open to page, and it had also some like some drawings, beautiful drawings, but it was Yosef with Aishas Potiphar. And Aishas Potiphar's friend. It said underneath Aishas Potiphar, Chevrata, and Yosef. And just image. It was nothing inappropriate in the image. And it was like, apparently them, I don't know, it was crazy. And then on top, there were like words on the side. It was like, it was a mixture of Hebrew and Aramaic, but I couldn't make it at all. I don't know what, it wasn't fearless. It was something, but it wasn't Psukim either. It was, I don't know, what, I'm not sure what it was exactly. They definitely don't know what it is. You know, but that's what I saw today. So maybe he was trying to tell me it's part of our Torah tonight. So what's pshat? Why? Because there's a famous Chazal that we know. Yosef HaTzadik saw an image of his father of Yaakov, which helped him. But it says specifically he saw that image b'chalon, like he saw it as if it was in like a window. That wasn't a physical window. It was some sort of window that he saw the image in. I hope I'm remembering this correctly. Pretty sure if I remember correctly. It's Bechalon, right? Bechalon. So I wanted to always say, Pshat was, you know, in a window as well, you could, depending on the lighting or whatever, it could work as a mirror. Right? Sometimes we're looking at a window and it's a mirror. And maybe he just saw himself. Jukno Shel Aviv was himself. Meaning that Yosef looked like his father. He looked like Yaakov. And he looked at himself in the mirror and says, he realized, I'm in shock that I would even do such a thing. I can't. And he ran away. I don't know if anyone says this. I don't know if... Because I know, if we saw ourselves in these moments, we'd run away. Because that's not us. It's not who we want to be. It's our puffed up version. It's our chametz sticker version. I want to be free. I want to be matzah. And that's what my matzah needs to remind me of. You know, we have three. In Pirkei Avos, you'll have these three. So you have kina taiva kavod that's motzienas adam and oilam. But we have ashlosh devarma olam omed. Where's the world stand upon? Torah avoiding mis chasadim. Again, the same. What Torah? Barasi HR, Barasi Latara Tavlin. Torah is the clarity and the antidote to what? Taiva. The more Torah I learn, the more strength I should have connected to my HR, connected to my Taiva. So Torah is connected to Taiva. Avoida, which is Tfila. What is Tfila? Shevach Vodah, giving kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like the Kohanim did the Avoida in Beis HaMikdash, L'chavos Varas. Our Avoida, when we don't have Beis HaMikdash, is Tfila. So Tfila is connected to kavod, the proper kavod to Hashem. I don't need the kavod, I'm nothing. Kavod to Hashem. And Gemilas Chesed is obviously the antithesis, the opposite of Kina. Kina is, I want everything, I'm jealous of you. When I'm giving to you, obviously that's going to defeat any jealousy. I'm looking to give you more and more. Only people that are not jealous are going to be willing to give to others. You might end up having more than me. I'm comfortable with myself. So our avodah of Torah avodah gnas chasadim is kinege kina taiv and kavod. The three matzahs kohen levi Yisrael is kinege kina taiv and kavod. Because the whole avodah of our lives is just to defeat that Yetzirah and ultimately be free and ultimately be ourselves. Baruch Hu brought me another matana. It's crazy. If you take the gematria, Torah, Avoidag Mils Chesed, 1,259. That's one more than To'evas Mitzrayim with the two kolos. The To'evas Mitzrayim. The To'evas Mitzrayim was Kinetayv and Kavod. Was Avdus. Avdus is Kinetayv and Kavod. I want to go away from To'evas Mitzrayim, from all of the despicable disgustingness of Mitzrayim. I want to be free from Mitzrayim. Torah Avodah Mitzchasad. Torah Avodah Mitzchasad is one more than To'evas Mitzrayim. Yibishter is amazing. You can't make this stuff up. You know how amazing the Yibishter is? You know amazing Torah is? But it's chosid as we have Torah. This is our vote, to be free, but to really be free. And the matzahs remind us of this freedom, and be free to ourselves, and be true to ourselves. You know, I was preparing this earlier today, and as I was preparing, so I remembered one of, you know, we've spoken about this Sefer before, this Heilige Sefer, Season of Life. Has anyone read the Sefer yet? No one's read the Sefer yet? You didn't read the Sefer yet? Did you haven't gotten the Sefer? Hashem Yerachim. It's a tremendous Sefer. It's one of the Sfarim of my life. Season of Life. Now, usually I quote from here. In Ben Adam Chavera de Kinyanim. It's Mamish, you sow this in Ben Adam Chavera. And what it is to care for others, or care, let me say better, care with others. Chavin knows that you've heard of this book. Elio, you never read this book yet? Shem Yerachim, what are you doing? This book, I still remember, you know, it's amazing how I remember the moment I heard about this book. My first few years married, I was living in Kew Garden Hills. And when I started teaching in DRS, I was still living in Kew Garden Hills. I remember Sunday morning, I was driving to Yeshiva, and they used to have on WFN 660. I don't even think it's 660 anymore. It's sports radio. Still 660? Yeah. Oh, okay. So they had this on Sunday mornings. I guess not too many people were up, you know. So that's when they spoke about morals and ethics, you know. And they used to have on different people talking about like sports and ethics. It was like some interesting stuff. And they had, I don't know if it was the author of this book or they were talking about this book. And I was so intrigued by it. And then like that week in Sports Illustrated, I saw someone brought me an article and spoke about this book. And I had to get the book, and I got the book, and the book changed my life. It's an incredible work. It's written by this Pulitzer Prize winner, Jeffrey Marks, but he spent a year with this high school football team who's coached by this guy, Joe, who was an ex-Baltimore Colt. He was a linesman for the Baltimore Colts. And he, you guys know that the Colts were originally from Baltimore. I don't know if ever knows about that. But anyways, no, there were no Baltimore Ravens, there were no Indianapolis Colts. It was a Baltimore Colts. Lamaisa, he teaches the teenagers, this high school team, way more about life than about anything to do with football. And Ben Alno Chavero is incredible. But at one point, he's teaching them also about Ben Alno Atzmo. And he's teaching them about the three components of false masculinity. He says, throughout your life, basically, you think things are important, and then you grow out of it. You think something else is important. It's all, and what society, again, he's talking obviously the Umas Olam, but we could all relate to this. So I'll read you a little bit. So he says, the first component of false masculinity is athletic ability. And some of us could relate to this from our younger years, and that maybe in 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade even. He says, I would say it begins on the playground in elementary school, Joe said. I mean, you walk on the playground at recess. What is what is every boy doing? Either wrestling or playing some made-up game that has some kind of energy about me competing with you. Somehow it ends up that if you can hit the hanging curve in baseball or catch the down-and-out pass in football, then you immediately get elevated as being a little more masculine, a little bit better than the other boys. And the kids that can't do those things, they get deflated. An awful lot of boys' value and development of his psyche is built around that playground. Probably more so than an academic classroom. It's not nearly as cool to be the A student as it to be the kid that can score the most points. So that whole athletic thing becomes a dominant factor for just about any boy. Now, what is that really? It's kavod. So I'm the better athlete. I'm the better hockey player, basketball player, football player. I'm the man. Right? Kavod. As a boy gets older, reaching puberty and navigating the treacherous emotional terrain of high school, they are deluged with all kinds of images and ideas concerning the second component of false masculinity. He calls that sexual conquest. Becomes all about the girls. Becomes something that validates maturation, masculinity. So in high school, it seems that the boys who can be with the girls, who can manipulate and use the girls, some of those boys are being pointed to as what it means to be a man. I'm not going to read all this right here because it's not so... Whatever, I'm even Yavin, you get the point. But in other words, it starts out kavod, and then it becomes what's the defining factor of what it means to be the man and what you're living up? Taiva. Right? It's all about that relationship. That's what the teenage high school years are about. And we think, sadly, he's talking, obviously this is in the world of women's island, but sadly, we've borrowed a lot of this. And if we think about our high school years, what was the most important thing that we were looking towards and excited about? And Joe's third and final component of false masculinity, economic success, generally becomes a factor much later. And as an adult, you start measuring masculinity, your whole value and worth as a man, based on job titles or bank accounts. Some of it all gets tied to these concepts of power and possessions. And those that have the most are deemed in America as being real men. The problem with all this stuff, that creates a paradigm that basically sets men up for tremendous failures in their life. Because it gives us this concept that we need to do as men is compare what we have and compete with others for what they have. Basically, the lie of humanity, he's saying, the three components of masculinity is all kina, taiva, and kavod. Because what is that economic success based on? Comparison to others and all about jealousy. So it starts where our younger years is all about kavod, then we get all about taiva, then it all gets kina. And what does that all lead us with? Nothing it leaves us with. Sheker should be sheker. And that's what he's saying. He gets it. I'll read you one more paragraph to bring it all home. Before this, he was talking about September 11th. And he took a lot from that, this individual. And here's the assistant coach speaking, Biff. During a break in practice, I spoke with Joe about something I've been unable to get off my mind. The people on the hijacked planes who had used cell phones to say their final goodbyes before crashing, and frantic calls to family and friends, all had shared three simple words they wanted to leave behind. I love you. I told Joe that I could not help but make a connection to our conversation about false masculinity. There had not been a single news account of anyone on those planes spending his final moments rehashing what a great athlete he'd been as a youngster. How many girls he scored as a teen. How much money and power he'd amassed as an adult. Nodding in agreement, Joe said, nobody was calling their brokers. Sheker, the life of Avdus. We're here celebrating Zman Chereseinu, the time of freedom, and we're not just celebrating physical freedom. Of course, that once was, and of course, there have been times throughout our history that we were yearning for that, but Baruch Hashem, none of us in our lifetime has had to deal with that. And hopefully never will. We have the mitzvah of matzahs. We have the mitzvah of matzahs against Pesach. The entire Pesach, it doesn't end, not just Lal Seder. The mitzvah of Lechem Ayini. The mitzvah of being true to ourselves. Of finding our personal true freedom. Of running away from everything that holds us back. Of looking in the mirror and seeing if we're a puffed up version of ourselves. Or I'm truly should and want to be. Hamatzus! Hamatzus! Is Gematria 541, exactly Gematria Yisrael. Am I the Yisrael that I'm supposed to be? Am I the Yid I'm supposed to be? Am I the person I know I really am? Am I living a free life? Chavre, we have a few more days. A few more days to find freedom. And hopefully if we find our personal freedom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will finally take us out of all this galus, bring the ultimate freedom with Gula Shleima. And here be made of a car of mamash.
All right.